Pastor Jamal.
Good morning.
Can you hear me? Yeah? Okay. Thank you. Yes, my name is Pastor Jamal, and I was not able to come this morning with my wife, and that's because I have a son. His name is Jaleel. He was sick for almost a month and a half. He was hospitalized, so he just got discharged, and so he's staying home with mom. And next time, God willing, maybe you'll get to see my family. But thank you very much for welcoming me here. And I, one of the pastors, I still had Baptist Church, but also I walked downtown Edmonton with refugees, newcomers and immigrants. I came to Canada as a refugee myself, grew up as a Muslim in Tanzania. When I became a Christian, things got really complicated, and I had to flee. I fled home when I was like 17 years old. And I was all over, you know, different countries, and then I ended up in Canada. So over here, God has laid upon my heart to work with refugees, newcomers, and we're talking about people from all over the world, like you name it, everywhere, from Africa, you know, Middle East, Asia, all over the world. That's my passion. And today I want us to look at Hebrews 11, verse 8 to 16. And this passage basically reminds us of who we are. The reason why I work with immigrants is because of my own experience. You know, I know what it means to be an immigrant or a refugee and some of the things that I went through. And it's very important for me as a Christian to work with people who have similar experience. And there's a sense where the church too, we are, the Bible talks about the church that we are aliens, you know, we are strangers in this world. And because we are strangers, we have a mission, right, to reach out to those who are lost. And Hebrews 11, verse 8, 16, this is what it says here. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed God and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, he was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand in the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them unwelcomed from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for us. They are looking for a country of their own. They are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So we come back to this passage here. So being a stranger is not an easy thing. And when I say a stranger or a refugee, it works both ways. I don't want you to think that a refugee or a stranger is someone who comes from some other country, comes to Canada. But a Canadian can be a stranger as well. When you come to my country, Tanzania, you are a stranger, and you can be a refugee as well. So it works both ways. And even within Canada, it's not the same. Someone coming from the East, comes to live in the West, can be a stranger as well, right? So anybody can be a stranger. You know, you can travel from another country, another country, you can be a refugee, you can be a stranger. So the word of God speaks to everybody in the whole world. So the arguments over the best policy of how and solution of how to treat strangers always, that is a debate in countries. How do we welcome strangers? How do we treat them? You know, what's the best policy to serve other people? And strangers are always blamed for a number of things. You know, unemployment, sometimes terrorism, budget deficits, diseases, crime, gangs, sometimes even global warming. And during the coronavirus, that was a huge issue, you know. People traveling from one country to another country say, hey, don't come to our country. You are bringing the coronavirus here. So it was a big thing. So when you are a stranger, you go through all kinds of things. And sometimes in the church struggles. How do we deal with strangers? Because as much as the church is willing to help and go an extra mile, sometimes there are unjust laws towards strangers that don't, they're not biblical. So the church is kind of torn apart. How do we do this? So it's a problem that is all over in our societies. And, you know, when I work with immigrants, sometimes I don't know what to do. I meet a refugee. I meet a person who does not have legal status to be in Canada. And as a Christian, I'm supposed to help them. So I'm thinking, where do I start, right? Where do I start? If you don't have any papers, you have no document, how do I help you? So as much as I want to help, then I don't know how to proceed. But here's the thing. When you think of a stranger, do you see it as a threat or an opportunity? In Genesis 41, the Bible talks of a Pharaoh who saw strangers as an opportunity. And this is what he says. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man, one in whom the Spirit of God is? So he's referring to Joseph here. And this is Pharaoh. So when you think about Pharaoh, you're thinking of a dictator. You're thinking of a bad person. But then he's looking at Joseph and he says, can we find a man like this, in whom the Spirit of God is? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made me all this known to you, there's no one discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit your orders. Only with respect to my throne, I'll be greater than you. You don't hear this in our society today. We don't think like this. So if you're a Canadian, you came to Tanzania, you became second to the prime minister or the president. As a local person, I'm going to question and say, hey, what's going on here? You know? I was born here. I came here first. Who is this stranger? Right? That's nature. That's how we will do. But Pharaoh is saying, no, I see potential in you. I see the Spirit of God. In fact, when you read the rest of the story, it was a win-win situation for both. Pharaoh was confused with the dreams. There was a crisis coming. It took a stranger. God had to raise a stranger to heal the land. And it was a win-win situation. But then a couple of verses down the road, Exodus 1, 8 to 11, a new king whom Joseph meant nothing came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they'll become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. So this particular Pharaoh, when the strangers came, they were a threat to them. I mean, to him. So they put slave masters over them and oppressed the people. Right? And then the worst thing he did, he actually committed genocide by killing all the baby boys. If a boy is born, kill him. That's how bad it got. This particular Pharaoh did not see an opportunity, but he was threatened. He was threatened. This morning, I want to help us to think biblically about strangers. But before we think biblical about strangers, we need to remind ourselves, who are we? And when once we remember who we are, then it's going to be, we're going to know how we should treat strangers. Exodus 23:11, the Bible tells that God spoke to the Israelites and he says, "Do not oppress the foreigner. You yourself know how it feels to be foreigners because you are foreigners in Egypt." So God is reminding the Israelites, listen, when the foreigner comes to your land, do not mistreat them because you yourselves, at some point, you are foreigners in Egypt. Based on that, you must return the favor to other people. And in Leviticus 19, it says here, "The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born." This is God saying to the people, treat them as a native born. And we used to do this back home. You know, so when you have Europeans come to our country, usually what happens is that they come as tourists. And when you show up as a tourist, the local people, they know these guys are tourists. So if something costs $10, you show up $30, just like that. So as a local person, I have a responsibility. So we used to do what we call tour guides, where when the foreigner comes, I become the tour guide. I do all the negotiations. I want to make sure that we treat them as a native born. Otherwise, if we leave them alone, then they prey on them, right? So that's what we used to do. So it's like, treat them as a native born. In other words, there's nothing like a second-hand class Christian person here. Love them as yourself, for you are foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So who are we? Hebrews 11, verse 8 to 16. We are strangers ourselves as the people of God. And it says here, talks about the heroes of faith. And these heroes of faith, he says, all these characters died in faith. They all died in faith. They were confident they died in faith. So their spiritual vision that although they did not actually possess the promised gift of God, they knew that they had seen it. They greeted it from afar. So these particular people lived by faith. So the Christian person, the body of Christ, we live by faith. That's our nature. That's our nature. I'm reminded of a butterfly. Before it becomes a butterfly, at some point it starts off as a caterpillar. So the caterpillar goes through a transformation and it becomes a butterfly. So when it becomes a butterfly, it's in a different reality. It has to live differently. A butterfly does not live like a caterpillar. So this transformation makes it a butterfly. It's different. So you and I at some point we were lost. Now we have come to know God. We're in a different reality. We live by faith, by trusting God, the promises of God. And this God is leading us to somewhere home that we call home. And he's giving us all kinds of promises. So, in other words, really, when you think about that, even though we are in this reality, but our true home is beyond this reality. And we haven't seen that reality yet, but we live by faith, and we accept the promise of God by faith. So these people, they died in faith, they lived by faith. So they were not, they went beyond the appearance of the realities of this world. And then it says here, number two, that they acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles. You know, they lived by faith, but also they admitted that, you know what, we don't belong here, we are strangers. And that's who we are. We are strangers here on earth. And when you are a stranger, you know what it means to be a stranger? First time I came to Canada, I started off in Regina. One thing about being a stranger is culture shock. I felt the culture shock. It was so cold. And everything was just different. The people, everything, the food and everything was so, you know. And I remember when you go through a culture shock, what do you do? We have a tendency to talk about home. Where I come from is not like this. It's nice and warm. It's like this and like that. That's what we do all the time. So when you feel out of place, you feel lost, but not only that, you don't stop to talk about where you came from. At home, we don't live like this. We don't eat this food. And that's exactly, these people, they were witnesses. They acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles. And what they did is that they kept talking about a home that God has promised them. That's the life of the pilgrim. That's who we are. Because we are strangers, there's something about this world. We live in this world, but really, we don't really fit in here. There's something off sometimes about this reality. We should not stop talking about where we belong. That's what's their witness, and that's who we are when you think about these things. Their mission was very, very clear. It says that they were seeking a homeland. Okay? Their hearts were set on in heaven, not on the land from which they had gone. The aliens and exile concept frequently emerges in the New Testament teaching with forceful charity that Christian citizenship is in heaven. That's where believers have set their hope. So even though they faced many trials and temptations and ups and downs, but their mission was very, very clear. They were in a mission. They never gave up. That's why they're called heroes of faith. They never gave up. Their mission was very, very, very clear that they were heading somewhere. So they were not really connected to this reality, even though they live in this reality. Their discernment is that they knew that there was something better. They knew that. They discerned something better. They didn't have the full picture. They didn't understand everything about where they were going. It's just like somebody watching a preview of a movie. If you know that a movie is coming that maybe this summer, sometimes they show you clips here and there. They don't give you the full picture. They don't show you the whole movie and say, this is the next attraction. Otherwise, it takes out the excitement. So they show you clips here and there. They give you something, then you have something to hope for. You know something is coming. So these people, they didn't have a full picture of what was coming, but they knew something better was coming, you know? And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we cannot answer all the questions about God, about heaven. We don't have all the answers. But one thing I know is that something better is coming. I can feel it. It's coming. And I know that, you know, a time is going to come. There'll be no more sicknesses, no more paying bills, mortgage, and all that stuff. It is coming, you know. So the author of the book of Hebrews certainly understood what it meant to be a foreigner. He understood. And because of that, the foreigner in those days was regarded with hatred and suspicion, always as an outsider. So the writer of the book of Hebrews, he understands that. And every time you think of a foreigner, he was always hated and always people regarded him with suspicion. Now, when we recognize that we are called to be strangers and aliens, when we have that understanding that we are called as the body of Christ to be strangers and aliens, it opens our minds to develop a compassion toward those who are strangers. When we think ourselves as that, then it opens that door. What then do we do to people who are outsiders? And, in the city here, one of the things that I do, say I work with refugees, I deliver furniture across the city. So when newcomers come, you know, I drive my truck and, you know, give people furniture, those who need furniture. And in a year, I averaged like 40 families. But I can tell you, I've met people that are hurting. I've met people that, I mean, it will take God for them to come to church. You know, sometimes we advertise, you know, check our website, come, our church, we have this, we have that. People come, but sometimes people who come are Christians from other churches that see that they know exactly what to look for. But there are people who are completely low. They have no clue at all. You enter into your life and make man, you know. And I feel for them, you know, the things that they've gone through. I met one gentleman, I was helping carry furniture, and he said he couldn't carry any furniture. This guy's from the Middle East. He couldn't carry the furniture. I said, what's up? And I just learned that he was missing like ribs here because of the war. So he couldn't lift up anything. And my heart was just broken just to see that guy struggling, missing ribs. Like, how do you live like that? And here's the thing. When we see ourselves as strangers, you know, it helps us appreciate what strangers are going through and what our role is. So these people admitted that they were aliens and strangers. They did not choose to be aliens and strangers. It's God who actually placed them in a place where they had to obey God. They found themselves in that lifestyle. They didn't choose. So our time is short. We don't know. We don't have any claim to possessions at this home. So we cannot be too crazy about this reality. If we take serious this pilgrim view of life, then we're going to place less value on material security, because we know that this is not our true home. So when readers of the Bible read a passage like this from the perspective of immigrants, they develop a better understanding of what immigrants or strangers go through. This process of reading the Bible through the lens of strangers then creates a space for host communities to realize the importance of hospitality and integration, right? It gives us that opportunity to how we can communicate and the importance of hospitality. But here's the challenge for the church. Sometimes we idolize our own security. It becomes so important to us. I want to be safe. I idolize my lifestyle. I want to maintain my lifestyle to the point whereby we miss opportunities to make a difference in the life of people or meaningful relationships in the lives of other people. So we idolize that. In relation to do with foreigners, what are your priorities this morning? Is it to make sure that you protect yourself? Or to protect your rights? Is it make sure that you are treated fairly? Sometimes these questions become so important to us. We idolize this kind of life. And we miss the opportunity of what God is doing. The Bible is very, very, very clear. And this is what it tells us, that it reminds us that we are part of a bigger story, not just our own lives. That's who Christians are. We are part of a bigger story. And that's why Matthew says that you are the salt of the earth. It does not say you are the salt for yourself, but the salt of the earth. So the type of person you are, the earth is going to benefit because of who you are. The Bible reminds us, we are the light of the world. It does not say you are the light for yourself. Shine the light upon yourself and feel good about yourself. You are the light of the world. When you shine that light, the world benefits. So see, God begins with people like Abraham, with one person. But what he has in mind is that many people can be blessed. He begins with few, like people like us, community of faith, but with the mind of blessing many people. That's who we are. So we can't go too crazy for the things of this world because we are part of a bigger picture. So which means that the Christian response to welcoming a stranger should not be based on Christian niceness just want to be nice to them, smile at them. That's it. I think there's more to that. Most people think hospitality is just making a nice meal for immigrant friends. But that's part of it. The biblical concept of hospitality goes beyond that. It's grounded in God's love. So the word that is used in the Bible actually is the love of strangers, which is the exact opposite of xenophobia, which means that the fear of strangers. But the love of strangers, it makes a huge difference. So Christ's call is to love those who are different, unknown to us. That may mean, it may mean radical change to our own cultural norms. When we love other people, it means that God has to work with us, with our own cultural norms. That's why the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, though I am free and become to one, to no one, though I'm free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew. To win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though myself I'm not under the law. So to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law. So as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means, I might save one. I may save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share its blessing. These are the words of Paul. He knew that who he was and the implication for that. So there is a link, my brothers, between ethics and missions. There's a connection there. How we live makes a difference to the success of our mission and evangelism. I was telling brothers this morning, coming from a Muslim background, I grew up in a Muslim area. Very, very few Christians. This brother actually came to my community to the point even coming to the mosque, even though I don't recommend that, just to be my friend. He spent 9 months reading the Bible with me. So we'll argue, we'll talk about the scriptures for 9 months. After 9 months, I began to slowly understand the mission of Jesus Christ. I began to understand why Christ and not anybody else. And as a result, I gave my life to Jesus. It's just that unfortunate when that happened, I had to flee. But this brother blesses me every time I think of him. I always pray for him. The amount of time he invested in my life. Today, I'm standing in front of you all, telling you about the love of Christ. And I believe that's what God is calling us. There is more. God is calling us to invest our time, our energy into the lives of other people. Could be strangers or it could be anybody. But because of who we are, as pilgrims, as strangers to ourselves, this is what we are called to do. In Matthew 28, it says, go make disciples of all nations. All nations, nobody should be excluded. The gospel belongs to everybody, to every corner of the earth. And that's what God has called us to do. So thank you very much this morning, and God bless you. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we want to thank you because you are such a great God. And thank you, Lord, for reminding us of who we are. We are strangers. We are just passing through. when we think of that, Lord, then we begin to realize that you have called us for a mission. And our mission, Lord Jesus Christ, is to bless those who are struggling, those who do not know you. And our prayer this morning, Lord Jesus, help us, Lord, to be obedient. Forgive us, O Lord, in the times that we have failed you, that we have acted with disobedience. But as from today, Lord, we realize that we are part of a bigger picture. Use us, O Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.